It is truly, truly a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day to come together to encourage one another as God has instructed us to do so, and to sing praises unto Him, give back a portion of what He has allowed us to prosper, and to partake of the Lord's Supper. As we come together on this morning, again giving thanks for the addition to the family, Brother Francis, and also for Brother Mark and his confessing sin on this morning. And the many things that are going through our minds in reference to what is going on in the lives of others, the deaths that have taken place over the last couple of weeks, and the idea of looking to God and being able to give Him thanks for all that He has done for us. We need to remember that today is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. There are things that may sadden us. There are things that may bring us down. There are even things in our lives that may cause us to lose hope from time to time. But to know that there is a God, and a God who cares enough for His children, a God who has made it possible for us to come to Him and to bow down before Him and to continue to know that He is there for us, that is a great thought. That should put all whatever else is going on in our lives to ease. And as we look at the song of praise here in Psalm 138, and being able to understand that giving God thanks for what He has done is what He expects us to do, we find the definition for praise. There are many definitions, but the simple and brief definition is stated that praise, it is used to express happiness or relief that something did or did not happen. I believe that when we look at the life of David, there's a lot of things that did happen, and then there's a lot of things that didn't happen. We know that David was selected to be king by God. And by being selected king, that God expected David to do all that He had commanded him to do. And not just the things that He personally talked to David about, but also remembering that David was supposed to keep the commands of the Lord that he had previously given to others. David fell short. David slipped. But David did not slide. David looked at Bathsheba and desired to have her and to lay with her. And David did exactly that because he was king. Does that make it any better or any worse? The answer would be no. It does not make it any better or any worse. Just because he's king did not give him the liberty to go against what God had already commanded. So when David slept with Bathsheba, Bathsheba was with child. And David tried to cover that. And we'll go back and cover that in a lesson later. But what I want you to understand from this morning's lesson, that we serve a forgiving God. We serve a God that wants us to turn to Him and to leave our sinful ways behind us. And when we do these things, God is there for us. David is stated to be a man after God's own heart. even though he committed this sin, but still a man after God's own heart. And David realized the importance of coming to God and to give God thanks for what he had done for him. The Bible states, and we're going to read it once again, and then we're going to go through it, and we're going to look at some things from Psalm 138. It says in verse 1, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hand. Isn't that a wonderful praise to God? David realizing once again who God is. David realizing that God can deliver him from his enemies. David realizing that all kings, all nations would be able to praise God. David realizing these things and at the same time realizing what God had done for him, and then in the very end said, do not forsake the work of your hands. I want us to understand that God created each one of us in his own image. God created us to be perfect. God created us to be holy. Now, a creator of something has to have some type of interest in it. And God being our creator, he has an interest in us, wanting us to succeed in what we put our hands to do according to his will. According to his will. And so when we look at this song of thanks or this psalm of thanksgiving or praise to God, we need to learn from David. And we need to understand that as we learn from David, we need to understand the importance of giving thanks to God. For each one of us can go back and we can remember where we used to be. Now there are some that their parents were members of the church and they really don't understand what has gone on out there in the world because their parents kept them from going out there. Not saying that you have not sinned, but you really have not been away from God because you have always been with your parents coming to worship. So you understood from a very young age what it meant to give thanks to God. But there are some of us that have not always been in the church. Our parents were not members of the church. We did not go to worship Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, into gospel meetings or revivals or whatever you may call them. We didn't go to those things, so we did not really understand what giving thanks to God was all about. Well, what I want us to know now, that even today there are some people that don't understand what giving thanks to God is all about. You go and you read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and get an understanding about what sin is, what God is displeased with. You look at those things and you say, Lord, I am glad that I am not there any longer. I am glad that I have been washed, that I have been sanctified, that I have been justified in the name of the Lord. That's what giving thanks is all about, because we understand when we look at that passage of Scripture there, he said, those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We should be giving thanks to God today. You know, I'm not telling you that you have to jump up and down. I'm not telling you that you have to walk around with a smile on your face each and every day. But I am telling you that God expects us to rejoice knowing that there is a better way of living. There is a hope that we all should have. And that is to be able to be gathered around the throne in the very end to give God thanks and praise Him each minute, each hour. But you don't have to worry about those things changing, because it's one eternal day around the throne where our God will be, where the Son will be, where the Holy Spirit will be, and where all the other faithful people will be praising God. That should be our hope. Understanding the importance of giving thanks to God. He deserves it. He commands it. Does he need it? No. He doesn't need it. He's God. He doesn't need anything. Do we need him? Yes. Do we need to give him thanks? Yes. Praise, glory, and honor goes to the Most High. And we need to continue to do those things. We look at this and we see there, looking at verse 2. He says, well, going back to verse 1 real quick, he says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. As every fiber in his very being, he's giving thanks to God. He's not reserving anything. You know, people ask that question from time to time. Why did you not do your best? Well, I just wanted to do just enough to get along. I just wanted to do enough just to stay with everybody else. I remember that question was asked to me. Well, why did you just get the bare minimum on your PT test? And I explained to the sergeant major when he asked that question, because one of the E7s went and told on me that I just did enough to get by. I said, well, sergeant major, it's like this. I said, I took the test. Back then, I took the test today, and then when I get to school, I'm going to have to take the test again. And I just didn't want to be too tired. He said, okay, I can understand that. When I got to the school, I didn't have to do the test again. I was so glad, because I would have done just enough again just to get by. Well, I want you to understand that when you come to worship God, it is not doing enough just to get by, but it is giving him your whole heart. Everything that you have, give to God. When you sing praises unto him, lift your voice high, that the man in the back of the room can hear you, that the sister in the front can hear you. If your neighbor can't hear you, you know good and well no one else could hear you. Sing praises unto God like you mean it, like God has done something for you. And yes, he has. He woke you this morning. He allowed you to have the activity of your limbs, to be in your right mind. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He says in verse 2, I bow down toward the holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Not necessarily David's faithfulness, but because of God's faithfulness. God will never leave us. We leave him. We turn our backs on him. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 points it out very clearly, that God can hear our prayers, but because of our iniquities, he'll hid his face from us, that he will not hear. We have separated from him. Because of our sin, God has not separated from us. The Bible is clear. Paul states in Romans chapter 1 and the verses 16. Romans 1, 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. David is stating that he wasn't ashamed to bow down toward the holy temple, to give thanks unto God before the people of the land. We should not be ashamed today. See, we need to understand that there is somebody out there that is lost. There is somebody out there that needs to be found. There is somebody out there waiting on you. Maybe someone else is going to them, but they're waiting on you to express to them the importance of serving God, the importance of them putting Christ on through baptism, the importance of you keeping your life unspotted from the world, that you may continue to be an example to them. There's somebody waiting on you. What are you waiting on? To tell them about God. The Bible is clear. You should not be ashamed to praise Him. You should not. God answers the prayers of the righteous. Was David a righteous man? Yes, he was righteous. Righteous before God. Did he sin? Yes, he sinned. Did he sin more than one time? Yes, he sinned more than one time. But that does not make him a sinner per se. A sinner is one that just stands there or sits there and wallows in their sin. Stays there, not wanting to move. David, when his sin was pointed out, David moved. David did something about that. We need to understand that God is waiting to hear our prayers. And He does hear the prayers of the righteous, and He waits to answer the prayers of the righteous. He says there, listen how David's life was pleasing before God. Because he says in verse 3, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. You know what David is saying? Lord, when you called me, you answered immediately. You did what I needed you to do. We need to know today that God is still answering prayer. You may not like the answer, but He's still answering prayer. There are three answers that you can receive. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and wait. And what we have to do is we have to accept them. Oh, yeah, we're ready to accept yes right away. Lord, can I have this? And you walk outside and it's there. Lord, you know, as the Bible states in James chapter 5, you know, the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. Well, we need to understand that when we pray for something and we see that something has come to pass, we give thanks to God. But when we pray to God for something and the answer is no, we get mad. Why can't I have it? Everybody else has it. Well, it may not be for you. You may not be able to handle what you're asking for. So accept no. There are some people just can't accept no. They don't want to hear no. They have a problem with no. We should not have a problem with no, because no sometimes means that we just need to grow. And then we look at that maybe. Sometimes maybe can be no. Sometimes maybe can be yes. Sometimes maybe we just need to wait. And God will provide for us. But David states again, on the day I called, you answered me. How do you feel when you call somebody on the phone and they don't answer? How do you feel? Do you feel like they just don't want to talk to me? Do you feel like they have just forgotten about you? Do you feel as though maybe you have done something to cause them not to answer your call? And when they answer it, they hang up right away? They'll click. Or they just, you know, ignore you, send you straight to voicemail? How do you feel when that happens? It's not a good feeling, is it? Well, why do you do it to others? Why do you do it to yourself? Why do you do what you do? For God not to hear your prayer, for God not to answer your prayer, means that you need to do something that is right. You need to change something that you're doing. Quit doing something or start doing something. Just that simple. But David was intrigued by this. He said, my strength of soul, you increased. Not because you ignored me, but because you answered me. See, we need our soul to be increased today. We need that strength, and we get that strength from God. Jesus says, you know, or the Bible states that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need strength from him. And we need to understand when we have that strength that we need to keep moving forward and not in reverse. God answers the prayers of the righteous, not the unrighteous, but the righteous. Then we find God's faithfulness to his people allows others to turn to him. God's faithfulness to his people allows others to turn to him. All the kings in verse 4 of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. All the kings. You know, when we consider this, that all kings should give thanks unto God, we have to know that this is just not the kings of Israel, but this is going to be the kings of the Gentiles as well. All nations will be able to give God thanks. And I believe that when we consider this, that we of all nations, we are not the Jews. We are the Gentiles. And we're able to give God thanks. We're not a king. But you know what we are today? We're heirs to the throne. We are heirs to the throne. We're princes with Christ. Being there of a royal priesthood. Giving God thanks for what he has done. In the book of Psalm 102 and the verse is 15. Psalm 102 and the verse is 15. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. All nations. Does that exclude anybody? No, it does not. It includes everybody. That they should fear God. The kings shall fear God. And with this fear, it will cause them to worship him. It will cause them to turn to him and realize the error of their ways and forsake them and turn to God. Let us be the people that God wants us to be. It says, for they have heard the words of your mouth. How do they hear the words of the Lord? They hear them by what we say to them. They hear them by our actions. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. People are looking at us. People are looking at you. They look at you when you ride down the road. They look at you when you walk down the sidewalk. They look at you on the job. They look at you in the grocery stores. And guess where else they look at you at? They look at you in the assembly. People, non-Christians, are looking at us. And when they look at us, they're learning. They're asking questions. And they need answers. And if we give them the wrong answer, we're going to be in trouble. So we have to give them the right answer. We have to set forth to them the good example of who a Christian and what a Christian is all about. We don't have to walk around with t-shirts stating that we're members of the Church of Christ. We don't have to walk around with t-shirts that have some Bible verse on them. I told you about the man getting pulled over with the bumper sticker and he asked the cop, you know, why did you pull me over? He was driving recklessly and the cop pulled him over and he said, you know, I saw your bumper sticker and I knew that you couldn't have been a Christian because of what your bumper sticker said and then how you were driving. Have we been pulled over lately? Because of how we have been driving? How we have been acting? Have we been pulled over? And people say, no, I know that you're not a Christian. That t-shirt that you're wearing, you need to take it off. The things that you're saying, you need to change them. Because you're not living up to who you say that you are. People will know God by what we do. People learned about God by hearing about God. Then we find there in verse 6. in verse 6. Remember again, God's faithfulness to his people allows others to turn to him. When he takes care of his people, that's his faithfulness. And people will turn to them because others are telling what God has done for them. And we look at verse 5. It says, "And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." Great is glory of the Lord. Again, he's God. He cannot do anything wrong. Everything that he has done, the Bible states, when he created all things at the end of verse 6, at the end of day 6, in the creation, all those things that were good, he said that they were very good. He didn't do anything wrong. He created everything very good. And we need to understand that, and we need to appreciate that because of what he has done for us. In the Psalm 113, the name of the Lord will be praised on high. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. But we find in Psalm 113, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to his setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks for now on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princesses of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Can we see the significance in this? In praising the Lord for what he has done for each one of us. For what we find here in Psalm 113, the question is asked, who is like the Lord our God? We need to understand that there's nobody like him. When we find that David states there, going back to Psalm 138, that he praised him before the gods. He didn't care about the gods of the world. He knew that there was only one living God, one true God, one God that deserved to be praised. David realized this. Do we realize this today? Or have we found some other God to praise, to give honor to give glory to, a God that can do nothing for us? We studied Isaiah. We understand the importance of looking at what the people did there and do not go back to do those things again. We understood how they cut these trees down and hewed themselves out of God. And with the wood that remained, they put in the fire. Well, they might as well put that God in the fire because that God could not do anything for them. See, our God was not made with hands. Our God created all things. And we need to give him glory and honor. We don't have to carry him anywhere but in our hearts. He goes where he pleases. He does what he wants to do. He's God, and we need to give him thanks for being God. The name of the Lord will be praised on high. If there is anybody anywhere that is not praising God, that person has a problem, and it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. God devotes his time to those that humble themselves before him. He devotes his time to those that humble themselves before him. I want you to know that God's time is precious. We are on borrowed time right now. You know who we borrowed this time from? We borrowed it from God. And you know, if you borrow something from somebody, you need to take care of it. Are you taking care of your time? Are you doing the things that are right before God? He's going to require our life of us one day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. How will you be judged? How will you stand before God on that great day? Will you be there begging like we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22? Will you be begging? Verse 21 states, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? Again, look what it says here. God devotes his time to those that humble themselves before him. In verse 6 of Psalm 138, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty, he knows from afar. He's looking at the man that is not trying to elevate himself above anybody else. He's looking down at that man. And he is thankful that that man is one of his. But the proud, they're in the distance. You know, our God can see everything. And it says here, he sees them afar. Afar away from him. They need to draw close to him. They need to do what is right. There needs to be a change in their lives. And when we figure this out, when we understand the importance of this, then we will get our lives in order. Go, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In the verses 5 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. As we stated again, God devotes his time to those that humble themselves before him. He can tend to all our needs at the same time. If you're devoting yourself to him, he is devoting time to you. It says here in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. And this is not talking to one single person here. This is talking to everybody. Everybody. See, he can take care of all our needs at the same time. See, it's hard for some of us to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. I know y'all heard that before. But our God can take care of each one of us at the same time. Whether he's going to do something good to you or whether he's going to do something bad to you, God can do that. Why? Because he's God. He's God, all powerful, all knowing. He knows who the humble are. He knows who the proud are. He's God. And he's going to take care of each one. Are you ready to be taken care of? Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day? That day is coming. Are you going to be prepared for that day? Whether you're prepared or whether you're unprepared, but you're still prepared, it's coming. Again, going back to Matthew chapter 7 in the 23rd verse, he says unto them, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I know you not. You that worketh iniquity, he said, depart from me. I don't know you. From afar, God does not know you. Therefore, your home will be in the lake that burns with fire. That's the second death. That's the second death. Our God is a great protector. A great protector. He looks after his children. That's God. Do you need to be protected? You know, when you were little and you got into trouble, you would run and hide behind your mother, your father, your big brother, your big sister, you run to them for protection. I remember one day I was running home. I was just running to be running. And my dad was sitting in the car with the neighbor. And he said, who you running from, boy? I said, Dad, I'm not running from anybody. I'm just running. You know what he was ready to do? He was ready to go and protect me. I did not need my dad's protection that day. But I was glad that he offered. Our God offers protection to us each and every day. What we need to do is we need to accept it. Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. What we need to do is accept it. Need to understand where our protection comes from. The psalmist stated, I look toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We need to realize this, that our help comes from God. Man can only do so much for you. It was stated this morning in Bible class, don't worry about the one that can destroy, the body, but worry about the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. God is our protector. We need to be worried about him. Not that he will destroy the body and soul and cast us into hell, but he will take care of us. He will protect us from our enemies. In Psalm 18, verse 1, 2, and 3, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Listen to what he is saying here. I love you, my Lord, my strength. You're the one that allows me to get up. You're the one that gives me all that I have. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Isn't that great? That is stated there in Psalm 18, and it still holds true today. Why? Because God never changes. Never changes. He'll be your rock if you allow him to be your rock. He'll be your fortress if you allow him to be your fortress. He will deliver you if you allow him to deliver you. A lot of times we don't get what we want because we don't do what we need to do. We need to understand that. We reject God. So therefore, he rejects us. But you know what? He is still waiting for us to do what's right. And it's just as soon as we decide that we're going to do what's right, he's right there. And you're like, why come I didn't do this at first? Well, why did I not accept him when he was first offered to me? When he first presented himself to me, why come I didn't do what I was supposed to do? That's because we don't understand about God. There are some people that think all they have to do is believe, but yet they don't know what they have to believe. Why? Because they have not heard what they need to believe. And if you have not heard what you need to believe, then you're not going to believe the right thing. So let's do what's right. Let's look at God and understand who he is and what he has done for each one of us. God makes the life of his children complete. The Bible states there in verse 7 and verse 8 of Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Again, as we read through Isaiah, we studied through Isaiah, we found that when God outstretched his hand against the enemies of his people, he did not bring it back until the enemies were destroyed. You stretch out your hand, but look what he says. As your hand is stretched out, your right hand delivers me. This hand is still out. This hand is saving. That's our God. He has it like that. But in the book of Philippians, the chapters 1 and the verses 8. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse is 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. As Paul is writing here, again, this is a thanksgiving and a prayer that he is writing to the church of Philippi. And getting them to understand again who God is and what God has done. He says in verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and all discernment. Going back and looking at that first statement there, understand the importance of giving thanks to God so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. There is but one God. We have but one life to live upon this earth. Let's live it for Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Because He is worthy to be praised. If you're here this morning and you don't feel like praising Him, I would hope that you would change that feeling. I would hope that you would change, have a change of mind, and you would do the things that are right. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one. Come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Do what is right today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do what's right today. Those of us that are members of the Lord's church, if there is something you need to get right in your life, get it right before it is too late. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.